Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and worship you today. Thank you for being able to be ushered in through music and worship, through words that we can express to you our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood is able to cleanse us and make us holy as you are holy. Thank you that you are righteous and that you are holy, you are just. And yet you're a loving God that loves us so much that you gave your life for us. Even while we were and are yet sinners, you died for us. You gave your life for us. You willingly suffered and died. You were humiliated before man. And Lord, we're coming up on Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But we think of the events that came up to that point where you willingly laid your life down so that we could be forgiven. None of us are worthy, Lord, of your presence. We are thankful for your grace and your mercies. Thank you for your ongoing presence with us. We can walk daily with you and that we can get through it all, through all of life. We know that you've said, Lord, that we will have trouble in this world. But we thank you that you are all-powerful and almighty God, able to overcome and to make us overcomers in the midst of this fallen world that you are one day going to redeem and bring us a kingdom that it belongs to you and that we are a part of that kingdom now. But yet it'll be a completed kingdom, a place without sin. Rescue us, O God, from this world and from the impact this world has on us. Rescue us, O God. Protect us, O Holy Spirit. Keep us true to your word. Sanctify our hearts. And it takes a decision in our own hearts, Lord, to have that happen. Where we need to consecrate ourselves to you. We need to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. We need to take steps towards you, and we desire to do that today as we look into your word, Holy Spirit, that you would go beyond the words of men and speak to each of us as individuals, come up beside us in our pew, on the stage or on this platform. Speak to our hearts today, as only you can do. Thank you that you are a friend, that you are a brother. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Thank you for speaking to my heart. We need your presence, Lord, in our lives. We invite you here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're being called together as a church to prayer, to pray and to fast, and to seek God's presence in our lives. I invite you to come. Be a part of that next week. After the service, prayer and fasting, to pray not only for you personally, to seek you seeking God's presence in your personal life, in your family's life, in our church's life, in our pastor's life, in our leadership life, inviting God's presence to be with us. In Numbers chapter 10, we're going to get to the passage of Scripture, and I pray that it will not be, I just pray that God will just overrule and rule and overrule. But in this Numbers chapter 10, it talks about the trumpets that were used by the nation of Israel that would call the people to move, to movement. When the trumpets blow, they'd have a blast for the people to move out. And the scriptures would say that when a trumpet blasted, it sounded the tribes camping on the east and are to set out. At the sounding of a second blast, the camps on the south are to set out. The blast will be a signal for setting out to gather the assembly, blowing the trumpets, but not with the same signal. So they'd have different trumpet blasts for the movement of God's people. And the trumpet has been sounded for the church to come together to pray. Pray for God's renewal in your own life, in your family's life. whatever the situation. Maybe there's something that has been a burden upon your heart. Maybe there's a physical healing that you need in your life. Come and seek God's presence. That's what we're going to be doing. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you, Joshua was told by God. Consecrate means to make or declare sacred, set apart, the act of dedicating to the service of God. And I want to call us to consecration, consecrating ourselves to God and allowing His Spirit to work in our lives and through our lives. There's different times. As I thought about this over this last couple of weeks, of this word just kept coming back, consecrate. Consecrate yourselves. God's working in my life to consecrate myself to God. To set myself apart from sin and anything that the temptations that I face. I don't know the temptations that you face or that sinful nature keeps coming back up. The act of setting our lives apart from sin and living our lives for the Lord. Act of dedicating to the service of God, that I'm willing to offer my life as a living sacrifice, that I'm going to willingly serve God with my life. And there's different passages of Scripture that kind of came to my mind that I want us to think about and pray through and ask the Holy Spirit to speak through. In Exodus chapter 19, the people of God had been delivered from Egypt, from the bond of Egypt. They were excited, but yet they were facing difficulties in their life. They were facing the wilderness, and God brought them to a mountain to meet with Him. And they were in the desert of Sinai, and after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen that what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then all the nations, you will be my treasured possession." That's what God's desire is for us, to be His treasured possession. That's how He thinks about you, how He thinks about me. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests." And that's what God calls you. That's what God calls me, a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders and the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answers back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." And then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain, and tell them, be careful that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain." They were not approached God in their way. They were to approach God with the limits that He has set before them. He said, get ready. Consecrate yourself. Wash your clothes. Be prepared. I'm going to come into your midst. And God says that to us today. Prepare yourselves. Get ready. I want to do something in you. I want to do something through you. Individually, as a family, corporately, as a body of Christ. Reflects just those, I just want to quickly hit on what God thinks about you. You are his treasured possession. You are a kingdom of priests. You are a holy nation that God has set apart to make a difference. And there's verses that are reflective there in Ephesians. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. His glorious riches, his glorious inheritance found in you, his people. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And in Revelation chapter 1, to him who loved us and freed us from sins by his blood, has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory, power, forever and ever. Amen. God has chosen you and me. There's another scripture that talks about sanctifying and consecrating ourselves. And that is in Joshua chapter 3. They were about ready to go into the promised land. Place flowing with milk and honey. Not without obstacles. Where one was facing them, right? Jericho. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. Notice that word, that number three. I don't know what that means, but three just kind of stuck out to me. It was just like 3 days. There is a 3 days coming up, right, that we're going to celebrate. Jesus overcome death. That's just kind of interesting. The officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 3,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. They moved as God instructed them to move. He said, consecrate yourselves. Take time to reflect in your own life. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And we're going to look at the process that we go through in that consecration to the Lord, giving ourselves to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, the scripture talks about a time when man is responsible for his own sins. And he calls us to consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. God commands us to do this, to consecrate ourselves, to set ourselves before God and allowing his Spirit to speak into our lives. Removing the sin in our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us so that we can lay our lives out before him and confess sin. Offering ourselves to God for his service. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 31. Hezekiah became king. He was 25 years old, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites, assembled them in the square of the east side, and said, listen to me, Levites. Consecrate yourselves now. Consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of your fathers. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary. Our fathers were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, your God, and forsook them. They turned their faces from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord had fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. He has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. This is why your fathers have fallen by the sword, and why our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now I intended to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger would turn away from us. My son, did not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, to minister before him, to burn incense. And it goes down in verse 31. Hezekiah said, you have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices, thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. They went through this process of consecrating their lives to God. And it's only that time when you are consecrated that you can enter into worship. It's that preparation that takes place before we worship God, before we enter into his presence. We need to consecrate ourselves. Did you catch what he said? You have now dedicated yourselves to the Lord. Now come and bring your sacrifices and thank offerings to the temple of the Lord. It's only when we enter into a preparation that we can truly enter into worship of God. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a call that has gone out. Jesus is coming, right? He's coming again. In Matthew chapter 25, we know the parable of the 10 virgins that they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they fell asleep. And the cry goes out at midnight. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. But we know that there was five that were ready and prepared with oil. They were sleeping, yes, and they woke up and they trimmed their lamps. They got ready, they prepared, and they were ready for the bridegroom when the bridegroom came. And there's others that are like, oh, wait a minute, I don't have enough oil. I don't think I'm going to have enough when he comes. Please give me some. And they're like, well, we have what we have. You're going to have to go out and buy your own. And so they went away, only to come back to find that the bridegroom, in the meantime, had come. And they missed out. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Take these moments in these days to consecrate your life. And I'm speaking to me. The scripture says that in the last days, some people are going to mock God and say, where is he? He hasn't come yet. Is he ever going to come? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will destroy by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. What kind of people ought we to be? Holy and godly. Set apart from sin and set apart unto God's service. There's a process of consecration. Our part is to offer ourselves to God, separate ourselves from sinful living, decide in our hearts that we're going to serve the Lord, and take steps to protect ourselves from sinful living. Drawing near to God into his holy presence. God's part, as we draw near to him, he promises he will what? Draw near to me, right? If I draw near to God, God promises I will draw near to you. That is the hope. And he promises that he will cleanse us, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? He promises to cleanse us. Our part is to confess those sins to God. Draw near to him. He will draw near to you. Confess your sins to him. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will empower us. He will enable us. The first part in step of in consecrating ourselves to God is to remember God's glory. Remember who he is. He is all-powerful and almighty God. That's what the festivals in the Old Testament were all about. Why did the people celebrate the Passover? To glorify God and what he had done for them in deliverance. What are the sacraments in the New Testament? They speak of God's faithfulness, the baptism, the faithfulness of God forgiving us and cleansing us. And we're buried to the old life, is buried, and we've come up in the newness of Christ. They're there to remember the Lord's table, to remember his sacrifice, his body that was broken for you, his blood that was shed for you, for forgiveness of sins. It's a remembrance of his holy presence, of his glory. Keith Ferguson said, "A drift in our commitment to holiness is usually connected to a lack of awe and wonder at God, what God has done for us. A commitment to holiness, us living our lives in holiness to God, is usually connected with our lack of awe of God, of who God is in his presence. I'll always remember Sammy Tippett describing what we should do in our worship of God in his book, one of his books on worship. He said, don't let yourself look at God's glory without responding in some way. He had a friend that lived in Colorado with all the Rockies that were there. Living in that, I've been to Colorado Springs and seen Pike's Peak, and that's the only place that I've been to that has big mountains like that. Garden of the Gods is right there, a beautiful place to go and visit. Love to take my family there sometime. But if you go there and you've never seen it, you're like, wow, this is pretty incredible. We had the opportunity to go to New York City this past year, and Elijah and Jolie had never been there and overtaken by the city sights. But if you live around that all the time, the idea is that you can get complacent about it. It's like, it's just, you know, here, I think about just where we live here. Just in the mountains and the overlooks here, I don't take advantage of it enough. I know Andy does with a mountain bike trail that's being put in here, and others enjoy hiking and things like that. I don't avail myself to that enough. But sometimes we get complacent to the beauty that is around us. But we think about that with God's glory. Sometimes we become complacent to him and to who he is. And sometimes we think, well, I've heard people say, you know, like when we come to church or whatever, different places where we hear the word of God, you know, I didn't really speak. I didn't get anything out of the message today. I didn't get anything out of that Bible lesson today. I don't think we should ever come to the Word of God and not go away with something. Don't ever let yourself look at God's glory without responding in some way. Whenever the Scripture is open, whatever you read, respond in some way. It can be a little thing. can be a big thing. But don't ever look at God's glory without responding in some way. Even if it's through a vessel like myself that is, I don't know, weak, long-winded. But come away with something, right? That's what I'm asking you to do today. Come away with something. Grab a hold of something that God is revealing to you today. The Holy Spirit's revealing to you today from His Word. Don't go away. Maybe there's a lot of scripture today. But don't go away without grabbing a hold of something that God has for you. Amen? Start your process of consecration. Write down all the good gifts that God has given to you that you do not deserve. I don't deserve anything that God has given to me. I don't deserve to be here. The second step is to remove your idols and distractions. We are surrounded by many gods and activities that distract us from our time with God and drawing near to Him. Recognize where we've adopted idols from our surrounding culture. Remove them from our lives. Recognize where those idols have crept into your life and those distractions have kept you from the presence of God. Is there something that's keeping you from God? Maybe it's something good that's keeping you from God's presence. Write down the things that have become a distraction to you that are keeping you from loving God first and being the most important person in your life. Write those things down that are distractions. Confess those to God and then take steps of action of making sure that those aren't becoming number one priority in your life, that your relationship with God is not suffering because you're spending time doing something else. The third step is to repent of sinful attitudes. Confess sin, sinful attitudes, and sinful actions. Confess those sins to God. As the Holy Spirit gives you insight into your life, and you're asking Him, you're seeking, you're drawing near to God, and you become aware of those sins, confess those to God. Ask God to forgive you, cleanse you, purify you, give you ways of escapes that He's promised in advance to do. He's given you a way of escape. Pray that God would make you aware of what that escape is and follow it. Be aware of sins we excuse away easily as being okay because it might not be involving others. It's just you. It's okay. Selfish attitudes, confess those to God. Confess that don't care attitude. I heard that this week. I just don't care. Well, you better care because the choices that you're making are leading to consequences, and they'll continue to reap those consequences if the behavior doesn't change. Pray as the psalmist prays, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Ask God to show to you maybe there's a blind spot that I have that I don't see and I need the Holy Spirit to smack me up ahead with a 2x4 and get my attention. And He has. Confess those sins to God, get right with Him, and continue to follow Him. Commit your life. The fourth step is commit your life to worshiping God. Continue to lay your life down before God and surrender to His will. Not ultimately and only about living a clean and pure life, but it's about worship. Isn't that what Romans 12 says? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The reason why we offer ourselves to God is because He's worthy of that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with God's word. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now that's become a memory verse for me. It's been become a doorpost verse for me. As the Israelites have put verses up to remind the phylacteries and verses on their doorposts to remember, that's become a doorpost verse. But sometimes, like I was saying earlier, those doorpost verses can become familiar to us, right? And we kind of quote them and it doesn't really penetrate. Don't let the familiarity keep us from responding in some way. Allow God's Spirit to work in your life by offering yourselves to God, renewing your mind with God's Word, allowing His Spirit to transform us to be more like Him, showing us what His good and perfect will is for us. A great tool that you can use is My Heart, Christ Home by Robert Munger. Wanted to read an excerpt out of that. I'm not tech savvy. I need pastor's help with that. But in helping Elijah was kind of trying to help me with that too. I had a tablet, but I think the tablet's going to be slower than, hopefully. The tablet would be slower to read than, I don't know, I don't have it fast enough. I don't know why it's not doing it fast enough. But I think, maybe, tech savvy. Oh, that's not even a jack. Well, hopefully I have enough power. No, I don't. Anybody got a plug? Help me out. I apologize. I thought I might be able to do that. Okay. But it is a great tool. And it's pretty economically. It's $1.20 if you have a Kindle device or your phone or whatever. Amazon.com. It's not a plug for them. But you can get the booklet, too, if you don't have computers or whatever. $1.86 is what it costs. I can get you a copy, and I'm speaking for the church. We can get it for you if you need help with that, okay? And there is an Audible version for $4.95. But what it does is it walks you through how to consecrate yourselves to God. And it relays, it pictures you going into your home and going room by room with God. And you're inviting Him into each part of that life. I was reminded about, you go into your homes and sometimes, you say it with fear and trepidation, is I'd like to invite you into my home. You know, some are better than others. But, we had family over this past weekend, not this weekend here, but the weekend prior, from out of town to see the show. And, we're scrambling to try to find enough room for everybody. And it's not, our house is not in upgrade, I don't know, it's not in pristine, it's not ready for guests in that manner, but we made do. One of the rooms didn't have a door. That's in the third floor, but yet it was a room that somebody could sleep in. So we got a table, a bed, we did get them a bed, and put up a curtain for them so that they had some privacy. You walk into my home, our home, and immediately you see the ceiling has been busted out, and there's pipes there, and replaced pipes now, so that's a good thing. I'm, But anyway, so you're coming into a home. And one of the things that it relates to is like each space, is your life. You have the living room where you have fellowship with others. You have a study that has things in there, books and magazines that you read. Maybe you don't want Jesus to see that room of your life. In that book, it takes you to the hall closet. In the hall closet, there's a smell coming out of that hall closet because there's some things in there that you're holding on to. It's not going to come up, so I'm going to move on. But get that book. Check it out. I wanted to read an excerpt from it. Maybe Pastor Doug probably has a copy of it. I do. I have a copy, too, somewhere in the box. We consecrate ourselves before the Lord, not for ourselves or for others, but for the Lord. It's not to prove ourselves to our neighbors or to feel good about ourselves, but it's for the Lord. It's for Him and out of worship of Him. True consecration seeks to bring the glory and honor to God. So we don't consecrate ourselves so that others can pat us on the back, oh, he's doing the right thing. And we don't do it so that we can feel good about ourselves. We do it because of God. The fifth step is to be prepared to see God's glory and what He will do. If you take the opportunity to consecrate yourselves to God, God's going to show up. God's going to show Himself real to you. I'll never forget a time when I was growing up. Our church was much like this church. And I've shared maybe this with you before, some of you. But our church here, our church family here, reminds me a lot of the church that I grew up in. And they were in a time when their church was on a, they had no parking. Similar situation. And they began to pray, and God led them to a site just outside of town. And they built, and God blessed. But in the midst of that, there was these times when they would come together to pray. And they would have all-night prayer meetings. And us, as young people, teens, would go along. My dad was there. But with elders of the church, people that we looked up to, people that would take us out going out golfing, these young people along hacking the ball. But we came alongside them and we listened to them pray. And we prayed with them in our feeble way. But I remember my pastor, it was probably one of the first verses that I learned, maybe not. But Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And that's the call that he brought to the people. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And I'll never forget that verse. Yeah, we fell asleep during those all-night prayer meetings. But yet we prayed, and we sought God. And God answered, God blessed. And God used that in my life to change my life. Yeah, I'm nodding. If you want to see that later, go up on Google and look it up, okay? But it is a great resource. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's what that little booklet's talking about, is having the living presence of God. One of the incidents was, the living room was a place for meeting together, and he wanted to meet with them. And sometimes he met first, but then his life became so busy that he was walking out the door and he caught a glimpse of Jesus sitting there in the living room waiting to meet with him. And he was like, oh. God wants to be in our lives. He wants to take care of the things that are in the closet, in the hall closet, the things that are stinking there that we've been holding on to from our past and from our sinful nature. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Those are my prayers for us today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would not go away without responding in some way to you, O Holy Spirit. My desire is that each one of us would consecrate ourselves to you, to worship you, to set aside our sinful nature, set aside the things that so easily entangle and trip us up, even maybe good things that hold us back from truly following and serving you. And I pray, God, that we would take those steps today to consecrate ourselves to you. We ask it, Holy Spirit, that you would just continue to work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.